go back to just a leather-bound Bible. And so if you find your mind wandering like mine does, mine wanders while I'm preaching. I don't know what you guys go through out there. But I sat through preaching last Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I sat there and I thought, I wonder if people have such as hard a time concentrating on what I have to say as I am right now. And if that's true, I pray for you. I really do. It's more difficult to listen than it is to speak. We find that in most of our conversations anyways, don't we? So I would encourage you to listen on purpose. Whenever we read together, don't let your mind wander, but follow along and read it in your mind and allow the Word of God to speak to you. Because we need the Word of God to speak to us if we're ever going to discover what God wants to do with our lives. Verse number 18, I love Paul. Paul's from the South. He says, for I reckon, amen. That's a great phrase. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You say, boy, I'm going through a tough time. It's nothing compared to what heaven is going to be like. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. The word vanity there means emptiness. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Man, that's a great verse. Verse 22, for we know, underline that, we know, circle that, star it, highlight it, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with, what's the word? What's the word? Patience, wait for it. Patience. The majority of people need patience. You ever got stuck in a traffic jam? Patience. Patience. You know what I like? I like whenever the sign says, right lane closed ahead. And I'm driving. And I get into the left lane. And the left lane starts slowing down and backing up. And then here comes a dummy. Oh, I didn't see the signs. And then they want to get over. Not on my watch. You should have read the sign. Here's your sign. I like it whenever truck drivers block both lanes like that. I'm like, yes. I had to teach those guys. But the other day, I found myself in the right lane. And I thought, I wonder why they're slowing down. Lane closed. Turn on my blinker. Oh, God. Let them to be like Jesus and not like me. Have you ever been there before? Amen. All right. That's not part of any of this. I don't know why I thought of that. But I said, patience, amen. Patience. Yeah, amen. Patience. I love it when our people, they get in the left lane and you know, the speed limit's 70 and they're doing like 76. And it's like, dude, get out of the way. I really want to break the law. Move over. All right. I set my cruise control on 90 and let her go. I'm joking, Brother Wendell. Amen. If it says 70, I drive 70. I drive 69, as a matter of fact, as I'm breaking law. I'm going to the altar here in a minute. Yeah. Amen. All right. But honestly, you guys, you get in the left lane, you drive like, oh, I'm so scared. I'm driving 74. Move. That's free. Patience. Patience. Driving will test your patience. Amen. Patience. I like it whenever I'm at the gas station and I'm waiting on the gas pump and the person in front of me, they pump their gas and it's like, ooh, I got to go in the store and get a drink. Move your car! Amen. Patience. Patience. I'm just like, oh, you know, God bless them. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, 29, 30 for this morning. Ready? Verse 28, the Bible says, oh, we know. There it is again. We know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It doesn't work together for everybody. It doesn't work out for everybody. To them that love God. Sometimes bad things happen to get us back to falling in love with God again. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So it's not just loving God, but it's obeying God. You want things to work out for good in your life? Fall in love with the Savior again. Revival is not about us praying for revival. Revival is about us praying that we would fall in love with Jesus again. That's the purpose of my salvation. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So why did He do all of that? To be conformed to the image of His Son. You want to know the purpose of your salvation? To be like Jesus. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is the greatest privilege that anybody can have in this life. But with every great privilege comes a great responsibility. My first and greatest responsibility is to know Jesus. Then it's to share Jesus with others. But I can't share something if I don't have it myself. I must know. Most people here today had good reasons and purposes for accepting Christ. I reflected on that this last week. I reflected on a lot of things this last week. Spent several hours running a machine this week. And once you fall back into the habit of it, your mind can go in a lot of different ways. It's amazing what I was thinking about. I thought about how good God's been to me, my salvation. I thought about the events that brought me to it. And after a week of work with my dad, I reflected on how thankful I am that we don't work together anymore. Whenever he hollers at me and I'm sitting in the seat of an excavator with a bucket, I'm thinking, a little bit closer. A little bit closer. Squish. Love you, Dad. But I was thinking about how God's changed my life. He's changed some of the things that I love. How do I live that, though? What is being a Christian, what is being a godly Christian look like in my life? By the way, it's going to look a little different in all of our lives. See, God wants us to live, but He also wants us to live more abundantly. By the verse this week, the Bible says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil, by the way. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life I'm thankful for that. And that they might have it more abundantly. I thought about abundantly. I thought, what does it mean? Well, it means fully, amply, plentifully. Abundantly. Excuse me for a second. I don't have COVID. Abundant. The root word of abundantly means plentiful, in great quantity. I have a life in great quantity. So do you. It may be short, but it's great in quantity. The abundant Christian life can never be fully enjoyed, though, until a couple things happen. Number one, you got to be saved. You say, duh. Well, there are a lot of people out there trying to live the Christian life without knowing Jesus, their Savior. Churches are full of them. Not only do you need to be saved, but you need to be sure that you're saved. You need to know it. If you go around doubting it, worrying about it, you're never going to be able to focus on Jesus. You're going to focus on you for the rest of your life. Number one, Amber, what's the purpose of my salvation? Verse 29 again, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." If you're keeping notes, letter A underneath that would be to conform believers to Jesus. We'll be a people who will dwell with Jesus and reign with him for all eternity. But before we get there, we have to live life. It is God who called us and is God who accomplishes his will in our lives. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I'm thankful for mercy. Spiritually, God is in the process of sanctifying or setting us apart to be more like Jesus. Bodily, as I started coughing again this week, I thought, again, bodily, there's coming a day where we will be like Jesus. The Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, now, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Great song this morning, by the way, Amber. The purpose is so that others can see Jesus in me. But before they can see Jesus in me, I must see Jesus in me. By the way, I see myself differently than other people do. I read the story recently of a grandfather and a granddaughter, and I can just imagine Ellie doing this. The grandpa, we'll use grandpa because that's what Wendell's known to as to the kids and not me. The grandpa and the granddaughter were sitting there. The granddaughter was looking at the grandpa and was touching his face and looking at his face. And said, finally she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And the grandpa said, "Well, yes." And the granddaughter said, "Did God make me?" And the grandpa said, "Well, yes." So the granddaughter ran and stood in front of a mirror for quite a while. She looked at her face and worked around. And finally, she came back to the grandfather and she said, "You know, God's doing a better job lately." This old body began to fall apart. There you go, Wendell. Amen. So, what is God's purpose? He wants me to look more like Jesus. He also, notice verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow." Let me stop. You say, what does foreknow mean? You're right, let's break it down. To know before. Duh. All right. to know before. He knew before it ever happened. He foreknew that I was going to be saved. He knew that there would be a time in my life, 38 years ago, that I would say, I need you and I want you as my Savior. He knew that. And then after that, he began to predetermine or predestinate what I would be like. Same thing happened to you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, you circle that word, he, that's Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You say, what's the purpose of my salvation? It's to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. But then it's so that Jesus becomes first in my life. If you need a big word, it's to make Christ preeminent. Preeminent. He uses the term in this phrase. He says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn was a word that the Jews used, and many cultures still use it, is a place of privilege. In most cultures, the firstborn receives a double inheritance that everybody else does. You say, woohoo, I'm the firstborn. But what that means is firstborn carries on some responsibility for the others. Jesus is to be first in creation and in the world. A dad was teaching his daughter one day about the different states in America and how it was all put together. And he had a paper map and he had it unrolled and he was showing her his. So this is where Texas, excuse me, this is where Texas is at, and Michigan and all that. Finally, the dad thought the best way that the daughter would be able to remember it was he cut it up into equal pieces and gave it to her and said, now go to your room and look at it and tape it back together the way it's supposed to be. In just a few minutes, the little girl came back in the room and all taped together in the right way. My dad was looking at it and said, wow, how did you do that? And the little girl said, turn it over, Daddy. And on the back of it was a picture of Jesus. And she said, whenever I put the picture of Jesus together, the rest of it turned out just right. You know what we probably need to do in our homes today? Put the image of Jesus back into it. And then the map of all the rest of it will work out. Jesus is to be first in creation in the world. He's first in the, should be the first in the lives of the believers. That's the purpose of my salvation. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, what are all these things? Quit worrying about all these things until you put Jesus first. Too many people are worried about the all. Let's be worried about putting Jesus where He ought to be. And I'll tell you this, the all will work out. Number two, not only see in these verses the purpose of salvation, but we also see the plan. The plan. Verse number 30. Moreover. You see, what does the word moreover mean? It means something more is going to happen. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The plan of God is based on his foreknowledge, what he knew beforehand. Jeremiah says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. He predestinates. The idea there is he calls. He had a purpose for your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll never force you to do something against your will. God asks, God calls, but He doesn't force. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will enter. I will come. How many of you have ever looked at your phone and you thought, I don't want to talk to them? You looked at it and you thought, that's a conversation I don't want to have. Some of the wives are looking at their husbands like, some of the husbands are looking at their wives like, based on phone calls, my children died 5 years ago. I can't ever get a hold of them. I call them. Goes right to voicemail. If I wanted to talk to your voicemail, I'd have called your voicemail. But I want to talk to you as a human. You say, well, how do you get a hold of them? Text them. You know the cool thing about text? You can see when they read it. And you know what? I watch, and Amber reads it. And I think, she must be driving. Obviously. Or she must be having surgery or something, because she's not answering me back. God calls. Did anybody in this room get saved the first time you heard the gospel? The very first time? Probably not. A few of you did. Brother Wendell did. First time you ever heard plan of salvation explained to him clearly, he got saved. That's a rather unique situation, by the way. Barb says if we can just get him to obey like that now, we'd be okay. And I say amen to that. But the majority of us, God called, and 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 God called. Until finally we thought, I need to answer that. It may be important. We see in this verse some things. If I were to preach through it all, Brother Steve, it would be long, all right? And we see some things. He paid for our salvation, justification. He declares our future, glorification. And we see in these verses, we see the plan for salvation and a purpose for it. And then number three, we see the priority of sanctification. You say, okay, I'm saved. I didn't dwell on that very much today because this is where we want to be at. What now? What next? To be conformed to the image of Jesus is what? Verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. To be more like Jesus is not something we can do in our own strength. We need the powerful Spirit of God to help us do that. Sanctification is a big, long word that simply means it's the ongoing work of the Spirit in the believer's life. Salvation is the result of an instant decision. Sanctification, or becoming more like Jesus, takes a lifetime. The priority of sanctification, the Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit begins to change us from the inside out. One of the problems that we as Christians have is sometimes we're great rule makers, but we're not always good rule keepers. Now, rules and regulations may be necessary, but can I say this? They're not tools of change. You remember this. Remember this, parents. Remember this, grandparents. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. The greatest challenge is to teach our children to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They must have a relationship with you as the rule maker, or there'll be rebellion. You say, why is my teenager acting like that? Because your relationship is not where it ought to be. They need to have not only a relationship with you, but they need to have a relationship or an understanding of the rule. Why are you making that rule? Why do they need to be home at a certain hour whenever they're teenagers and they're out on a date? Not just two of them. A minimum of 15. You need a 15-passenger van to haul them all around. And it's a good idea for the parent to take them out on the date to go with them. The parent can be that third one, as a matter of fact. Christy, whenever yours begin to date, either you or grandma go with them. Amen? All the time. Nathan and Evelyn, they need to have Joel or Lisa there. Amen? All the time. They're like, what? We didn't know that was a rule. Well, starting today it is. All right. You say, why? Because sin dwelleth in us. See, sin is a matter of the heart. By the way, it won't matter. It won't matter how you protect them and how you watch over them and how you do all of that unless you distill in their heart a love for Jesus. Because here's something that we all have found out. Teenagers are some of the sneakiest liars that God has ever created. And if there's rebellion in their heart, some of you are looking and thinking, yeah, my teenager. No, I'm talking about you as a teenager. Because I know I was. Josh Held's looking at his son and he said, nope, I was always a Marine. I always obeyed the rule. The preacher's not talking about me, he's talking about you. Yeah, amen. Because sin is not necessarily a matter of the flesh. Sin is a matter of the heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. What we need to do is train our children. But before I can train my children, I must first train myself. What we need to do is train our children to keep their heart with all diligence. For out of the heart, the Bible says, proceedeth evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and theft and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness, which is an animal desire, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, out of a heart. Only the Holy Spirit can change my heart. You say, what is the purpose of my salvation? To conform me to the image of Jesus, to make Jesus first in my life, and then for me to show others Jesus in my life. How do I do that? First of all, I got to be saved. Second of all, I got to be sure that I'm saved. And then third of all, I need to be surrendered. Surrendered. Surrender to who? To Jesus. How do I get there? Well, you must know truth. You say, why do you say that? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Well, how do I get to know Jesus as the truth? Thy word is truth, the Bible says. Today, we're either slowly conforming to the world. Oh, by the way, here's a free one. I was so glad that the trans swimmer placed fifth. Amen. I'm like, you go girls. and you fake Aquaman. Aqua-like man. Today, we're either slowly conforming to the world. See, we laugh at stuff like that. But you know, that stuff came along slowly, didn't it? We think it happened very quickly, but it did. This started off a long time ago. And it started off probably as a sitcom and people laughed at it. That's how the devil works, by the way. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't no laughing matter now. In Florida, they just passed a bill, and they call it the opposition calls it the Don't Say Gay Bill. But you know what it really is about? It's about, you're not going to teach my first grader about gay sex. And the people are up in arms with the Disney Corporation, which is the largest homosexual organization on the face of the planet. There's more homosexuals that work at Disney than any other place in all the world. Every one of those cute little animals are probably some pervert that are sitting there fondling your child. Just keep that in mind. That's gone on for a long, long, long time. But a lot of people are mad at Disney because they didn't come out against it. Disney's thinking, we believe we're not going to take a stand on that right now. Can I tell you something? Wise decision. Because parents are getting mad and angry because they're teaching our children this stuff and it's not their place. It's not the place of a teacher in elementary, early elementary school to teach children alternative sex. If a teacher feels that need, then they need to be fired. And their teacher's license needs to be taken away forever. And then the parent probably needs to take their child out of there and put them someplace else. See, I'm either slowly conforming to the world or I'm becoming more like Jesus. There are things that 10 years ago, most of us would have never allowed in our families or in our lives. And if we're not careful, we're allowing them today. I'm amazed whenever I scroll through Instagram of the number of memes that have vile curse words in them. I'm talking about vile. They're curse words that I don't use. But whenever I read it, I think it. I don't need to be conformed to the world, and neither do you. You say, how do I combat that? All right, wake up. I'm finished. Wake up. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you surrendered? God's purpose for your salvation is it would become more like Jesus. Am I more like Jesus today than I was a week ago? A month ago? A year ago? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Joanne, what year were you saved in? 70 years ago, 80 years ago. Amen. I don't look like I looked in my walk with Jesus 38 years ago. But there were times in my life that I've been more like Jesus than I am today. And I want to be back to that. There were times in my life that I've experienced personal revival. I want to be there today. How about you? What's it going to take? Maybe I need to not ask what's it going to take, but maybe I need to ask what needs to be taken out. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Are you saved? Are you sure?